Welcome back to Raw Vegan Lens. I'm your host, Sherry Michelle. Let's go. This has got to be the least processed podcast out there. We don't do music. We don't do edits. We just yammer. Thanks for being here. I don't know why you are, but maybe you're getting something out of this. I hope so. Yeah, let's jump into it. So I'm always reminding myself that everything is happening for me and not to me. And the other day, it hit me. I know it took a while, but it hit me. Even diabetes. When I really think about it, it's happening for me so that it's just herding me into or onto that raw vegan path, herding me back onto it, H-E-R-D-I-N-G, herding me into this path. I mean, how many times have I sent into the universe that I want to be raw vegan for life, that this is what I really want, and yet I fight it. I just feel like my perception shifted when it struck me that diabetes is trying to help me. My body is trying to help me by saying, look, this is serious. This is the fork in the road. Let's go. So I've been thinking a lot about that for the last couple days. And fasting is pretty much off the table right now, unless I do it on the weekends, because of my job. I love my new job. Taking care of this woman with Alzheimer's is incredibly fulfilling. I mean, I probably said all this in my last episode, but in the beginning it was really unpleasant. I was just a maid, basically. Nothing against maids. I did that work in Hawaii for a little while for free bed at a hostel. Did that for a couple months because I didn't foresee there being a slow period of the year, a seasonal slow period for animal communication. So I had to pivot. I didn't want to stay. I had the time. So yeah, but it was hard on me. It was hard on my ego. It was extremely humbling. And that was happening also during these first 2 weeks of this job. I say hard on the ego. I want to say cleaning toilets specifically. Now, I'm not doing that at this new job right now, but when I was like also in caregiving, I've had to clean a toilet or two. And yeah, I just find it so humbling because my ego is like, I went to Second City. I did stand-up comedy. I've written 3 novels, you know, like that little jerk inside you is like, I did all this stuff. Why am I cleaning toilets? And then the hurt part of you is like, because I have ADHD and I just don't stay in one track for very long. And I question whether I, you know, the longer the time goes between being raw, because I always go back to it, I question like, am I less ADHD when I'm raw? I think I am. I know I've got to be. I think it goes back to also just eating consistently makes you a more consistent person. If I eat consistently healthy food, I'm more consistent. And when I eat, you know, sugary, junky foods, I'm very up and down. My attention span is shorter. I really do see that. So, yeah, back to the first 2 weeks of this job. It was like I realized after a few days, just even the first day, it was just awful. But 2 weeks straight, like she didn't want to see me. She didn't want me there. She'd just tell me goodbye to my face and kind of melt down in front of me. Like, can I just have a minute alone and stuff like that? Or I'd say good morning and she'd be like, no. And I told her husband at one point, you know, look, she doesn't want me here. And he's like, just give her a chance. And he played some music for her that day. And that really kind of started to turn the ship around. And now she greets me at the door. She used to be sleeping when I drive, like just taking a nap on the couch because she'd already been, you know, on four walks. But now she greets me at the door. She's smiling. She doesn't know my name, but her face lights up the way that my grandma's did when she didn't know my name anymore. And Janine already knows a number. Ooh, I shouldn't have said that name. Oops. Okay. Lots of people in the world named Janine. Dang it. Anyway, she greets me at the door. She's very happy to see me. Her face lights up. She gratefully accepts hugs and kisses and, you know, love conquers all. I really didn't think this was possible with her because she's so far down the Alzheimer's road that I'm still surprised that she's at home. I have not seen someone this this deep into the disease still be at home. So hats off to her family. Like, she has an amazing family, and her kids and her husband just really want her at home. So very sweet, very loving family. But, you know, they're pretty burnt out, and I am not yet. So I am really loving this work, and we've just kind of become, you know, besties. So I think she needed that. She didn't have that, and it takes a lot of pressure off of her family, that there's someone else that she's comfortable with. That being said, we are doing the dog sit in Hawaii again this year. I'm so happy. And yet, because she is getting so attached, I'm also a little anxious because it's a long stretch. It's 16 days. And I want to do the right thing. In the back of my mind, I think, well, I could send Gabe ahead. I could change my ticket and join him a little later if I have to, if I really need to. Her husband's not happy at all that I'm taking this vacation, but her kids totally understand and have been very encouraging. And I made this commitment, you know, last December when we did the dog sit, we agreed to do it again, happily agreed. So just a lot of mixed emotions there. I do love my job though, and I know that I can't do this indefinitely. When I do this work, I'll do it for a good long stretch, like a year, and then I can't do it again for a while, a few years. So it's just, it takes a lot. I feel like when I leave there, I feel like my nervous system is exhausted just from answering questions, like talking so much. Everything is very improvisational, very yes and, very, yeah, I can do that. Sure, I'll help you with that. Yeah, let's go there. Let's do that. Let's go downtown. Let's get your sweater. You know, everything's very upbeat and positive and agreeable. And my boss says that's probably why she's becoming so attached. You know, her family can't be that way all the time. And they really try. But gosh, they live there, you know. I mean, her husband does. Her kids are older. But they visit a lot, even from out of state. One coming quite a bit. So I notice she's, yeah, become a lot more attached in the last week or so, which is great. I'm happy for her, and it's, it feels, good for me knowing that I could give her that and I can be a friend to her when she needs one. So it just takes a lot to do it, and I am very tired when I get home, but I think that raw could really help. I think it's really the answer to so many things, as usual. I think that it can give me the energy I need. I mean, it is really a marathon. We did over 8,000 steps, let's see, Wednesday. That's the most so far. I still think she might have accidentally gotten caffeinated coffee that her husband brought home. He always brings her nice treats and things. And yeah, I think they got the wrong coffee, that they gave him the wrong coffee. So I hope that's all it was, because man, that was a busy, busy day. Like, she just barely sat for 6 hours. But you know, sometimes you wonder if, you know, I've done a lot of different things, and sometimes I wonder, like, is this more my calling? Like, but then also I think it's very human to want to narrow it down to one thing. I can say I'm very good at this, and I'm proud of that. And I've had a client in the past, very different situation, but also got to be besties. We had so much fun. And she was not as far, the disease had not progressed as far with her when I was with her. It had progressed pretty far, but not to the point where her memory was only 5 seconds. And this client, sometimes that's not the case. She'll surprise you. She'll have moments of clarity, of course, and yeah, surprise you. So the bottom line, I think, for me is that they're really good people. You can tell that one is past now, but her soul, I guess I'm referring to, they're both really kind, funny, empathetic people that I would have also loved to have known before the disease set in. I would have loved to have been friends with them. I know we would have had a lot of fun, because, you know, we're having fun now. So, and we find the same things funny, similar sense of humor. So, speaking of which, I had a friend recently move from way out in the suburbs to just 10 minutes away. I mean, practically in my same neighborhood. We spent a lot of time together those first couple weeks, or week maybe it was. And then she said something about me that, like, at this point, it just really hurts. At that point, I was just like, what? But I also said she was a help rejecting complainer. Her response was an article from Psychology Today about toxically positive people. She was telling me I was toxically positive. My nephew, bless his heart, said, I'd take it as a compliment. And I can see that. You know, it's my choice, I guess, what to do with it, and to just stop feeling hurt. I don't know how a therapist could be in a relationship for 11 years with someone who's toxically positive. Nobody else has said that to me ever. And I have my moments, you guys know, when I'm not so positive. We all do. But I thought that was a big leap, and it was hurtful. And it was in response to me calling her a help rejecting complainer, because we've been through this a number of times, and we take long breaks from each other. This time she was focusing on the negative when so many great things were happening in her life, are happening. And I was like, look at this and look at this and look at this, like all of these things, like, and this is easily solved. You just walk, you know, 50 feet down here and you've got this, or you could go to Starbucks, or you could go, you know, and she didn't want, we all know people like this. She didn't want a solution. She wanted me to say that it sucked and to validate, you know, and I did validate that it was unfortunate. I wasn't going to use the word sucked, because I think that's just asking for trouble, and to me it feels immature. But so many good things were happening, and she was focusing on the one thing that wasn't coming together yet, that will be, it will be fixed, but so easily fixed by her right now. There were other options, but that's what she was fixated on, and I just can't go there. And my feeling is, we all have our own pit of depression. If you don't, God bless you, like, consider yourself extremely fortunate. But I think most of us have a pit and we work hard to stay out of it. I'm not going to get in someone else's pit with them. Why do that? That doesn't help them. It doesn't help me. Now we're both down in the pit, you know, like, no thanks. And gosh, this sounds arrogant, but I don't want to spend time with people who fixate on the negative. I work hard not to do that. And yet, of course, because she now lives 10 minutes away from me, it's like, God, what a shame. She lives right here. We could have so much fun. We were having so much fun. And she said that she'd already gotten in an argument that day with someone about the same subject, the same issue that she was focused on. So I don't know how this turned me into a toxically positive person. I just don't agree. I just don't want to get in your negativity. Like, I just don't, I guess I'm not that person that you can vent to. She has a roommate. She can vent to her if she wants. Is it okay to say to someone, I just can't go there right now? Now, she's just said she doesn't have the bandwidth to criticize or be criticized. And I said, same. So it should be okay for me to say, yeah, I feel like I shouldn't have to redirect her attention like I do someone with Alzheimer's to something positive. Like, there's a resistance within me. It's like, okay, we all have our issues, we all have things we struggle with, but you're pretty much fine. You should be able to redirect yourself. Like, I don't want to redirect everyone. I just want to keep working on being positive. I'm thinking about maybe starting a meetup on manifestation or another podcast, or maybe just not reinvent the wheel and just turn that into something here. Like, let's have a manifestival. Let's talk about things we've manifested. I started listening to Pam Grout. And if you don't know who Pam Grout is, she was a travel writer for a long time. And she's a big student in the Course in Miracles, and she writes fantastic books, over 20 books about manifestation, positivity, and I just adore her. I can't believe that I didn't hear of her until just in the last 6 months. But now I just can't get enough of her. She has this thing where she has a possibility posse, where she texts with friends, like, good things that happened to her the day before, like blessings. And she also tells herself, she's gone through the whole alphabet now, but it started with AA, where every morning before she gets out of bed, she says, something amazingly awesome is going to happen to me today. And she went through the B's and the C's and the D's and the E's and so on. But I'm still on the A's. I still say it. Almost every morning I remember to say something amazingly awesome is going to happen to me today. And sometimes I say it before I go to sleep, like, tomorrow something amazingly awesome is going to happen to me. And you would not believe how it consistently comes through. Like, something amazingly awesome does happen. And let me think of an example. Well, yesterday I had a tooth pulled, and more on that as we get into this, but it went really, really well. The office was awesome. I had to go to a new office. I've seen the same dentist for 25 years, believe it or not. It's this one consistency of mine, not like me. I haven't had the same doctor like consistently at all. But the same dentist for 25 years, he's a really funny guy. He wanted to be in one of my books, so I put him in my first book, Swallowtail. Just a little, you know, thing on dental records and identifying a body. And so, because he was like, oh, there must be room for a serial killer dentist in there somewhere. And so I figured out a way to get him in there at the end. And anyway, he's a super guy. His name's Dr. Link, and he's in Oak Park, Illinois. And his office is like a time capsule. He's getting ready to retire probably in the next few years. unfortunately. But he bought his practice from a guy who was retiring when he was a young guy. And I mean, you walk in and it's, I mean, I was born in 1970. His office looks like it was decorated in 1965. I think all of his machines are pink, all like original artwork. And he has no receptionist anymore or anything. He's just a one-man band. And so he's not an oral surgeon. He had to refer me to, or, you know, suggest that I find an oral surgeon. You know, if you think back quite a few episodes ago, but in the fall and winter, I was having trouble with a molar, my number 19 lower left molar. And he said I needed a root canal, and I did not want one. And so I fasted and got rid of the infection, no longer needed a root canal, but that tooth ended up dying. And so this summer, like, I went to an office that just wasn't that great, and then found this office, and they were fantastic. So it's been like the whole summer it took to get this tooth out. But everything went very smoothly then, and hardly any pain at all. I don't have any pain right now. I hardly had any last night. And I've got everything lined up for an implant. I just have to decide on where I'm going to do it. But anyway, I forget why I'm telling you this, but I know that I wanted to include it. I definitely want to have Raw kind of counteract the effects of having a tooth pulled, because I used to work in a dentist's office in marketing, and I remember reading that losing a tooth can signal the rest of the body to age prematurely or speed up the aging process. I've Googled, I mean, it's not like Google is God or anything, but I can't find anything to support that recently. But I think I came across that information for a reason, and there's probably some truth to it. So yet another reason to go back to Raw. I'm babying myself through this, by the way. I could have easily gotten through this tooth removal doing Raw Vegan, but instead I wanted to do mashed potatoes and soups in the fall, and it's getting colder now. And I'm not eating sugar, but I am eating comfort foods that are soft and like I'm supposed to. But I could have made my own tomato basil soup. I could have, you know, definitely made my own raw applesauce and raw sweet potato soup, lots of smoothies. Easy, easy thing to do. But I wanted to baby myself. There's something that... it goes back to childhood, I guess. I don't know if you guys feel the same, but like when you have the flu or something, I want like little comfort foods and feeling like I'm taking care of myself. And so I have some thought patterns that I want to overcome there, where taking care of myself doesn't mean like mashed potatoes or iced coffees or chai tea. Lots of almond milk. Yeah. I know I can shift these perceptions. And Pam Grout talks a lot about this. E Squared is her most famous book. And it just, the more I focus on positive things happening to me, the more I want to, just rewire my brain. And E Squared is full of experiments to do to prove to yourself that kind of the universe is magical and that you are in the driver's seat. The first experiment I did last weekend, you want to expect that something magical is going to happen. The universe is going to show itself. It's going to show you. It's listening. The universe, God, whatever you want to call the higher power. And you have 48 hours. You just give it 48 hours. Show me. Show me you're listening. Show me you're real. Show me you're here with me. And we've had a lot of activity with the lights in our apartment. And it's slowed down and then kind of speeded up again. But recently we were playing board games. We were playing this awesome game called, Abduction, D-U-C-T-A-T-I-O-N, with ducks. And it's really fun. If you haven't, checked it out, please do. It's a lot of fun. And I think it's a great metaphor for life because it's like, don't get too hung up on your plans because they can fall apart in a second. In one play, and you have to make other plans. You have to adapt. It's like Who Moved My Cheese, that book. You know, the people who really succeed are the people who can pivot and adapt. And people with ADHD are really good at that. So I'm pretty good at that game. And so the ceiling fan's light came on while we were playing that. So I got my dowsing rods out and wanted to know who it was. And it was my niece, Devin. And she was just hanging out with our good energy, you know, with us playing a board game and having fun. Well, we were going out to dinner then a week later, last Saturday, and I turned off the ceiling fan as we left. And by the way, I got video of the fan light freaking out, like just disco lights. That was fun. And sent it to my cousin and my niece. And so we were going out to dinner. I shut off the fan on the way out the door. And when we came home, that ceiling fan light was on. Now, I don't like that light because it's so bright. The only time I really use it is when I'm sewing something. Like my lunch bag was, the handle was coming off. So I was sewing that the other night and using it. But the light was on. The fan was off. And that had never happened before. And both of us were like, wow, what's going on here? So I had to check with the rods. And my grandma, Rhodes, claimed responsibility. And, you know, because I asked, I went through, you know, is this you, Dad? Is this Devin? Is this my sister? But no, my grandma Rhodes. And I've seen her birthday on license plates a lot lately. Like she's really been around. I asked the Rods again today, like she's really been around a lot lately, hasn't she? Yes. Is this about my health? Yes. Okay. So I tried to convince myself for 2 days that I turned that light on before we left. Like when I turned the fan off that I accidentally turned the light on, but the apartment was already getting pretty dark. It's towards the end of the day. It's like 5 o'clock in the afternoon and we came home at 9. But Gabe says, no, I mean, no way did you turn that light on? Cause it is so bright. It's annoying. I call it the stadium light. So I would have noticed that I turned that light on as we were leaving for sure. So it took me a couple of days to really accept it. People think I believe in anything. That's not true. I am a skeptic. A lot of the time, it takes me a while to accept something. So that was my first experiment. I'd actually done a little coffee experiment of hers before, like manifest a free cup of coffee. That took me only like an hour. I was offered a free cup of coffee at a vet's office when I was doing some deliveries. So it's fun experiments. So I highly recommend that book. And if studying her more and more and going back to the Course in Miracles, which I did not read in its entirety by a long shot in my 20s, but that's when I was first exposed to it. I did go to a study group for it for a while and got to be good friends with people who study it. If that all makes me toxically positive, so be it. It's just a label, right? When it comes down to it, it's just a label, and it's not even an actual psychological term. You know, it's not in the DSM or anything like that. It's a social label. I have not been walking and biking the way that I wanted to this summer at all. In fact, the summer's over. We're in September. The bike has been sitting here in the living room since May or June. Against the bookcase. And last night I had a dream. I had a crazy, you know, all over the place dream. But the thing that really stuck out to me was that we had a pet sloth. Like, we had Jebby there with us. We were living in a new place, a weird, different place. And we also had a pet sloth. Like, that's just a normal thing. So I had to look up, like, the totem and the symbolism of a sloth. And the fact that it was a pet, they have a lot of strong personal feelings, apparently, about procrastination. Yes, I've been feeling that a lot lately. And it's funny because I know that once I start doing it, just like with Raw, I really enjoy it. But I make a mountain out of a molehill sometimes, and I definitely have with this exercise. I found all kinds of exercises I want to do, but I haven't been doing them yet. But I do feel I'm moving in that direction, and I'm going to take Jebby down to the lake today. I just want to be, like, transparent about, you know, where I am and the things that I still struggle with. You know, 10 years ago, I was walking 2 hours a day for this Raw online group that I belong to, and it was mandatory, and I did it, and I could still do it, and I want to still do it because I know that really worked for me. And in reversing the diabetes, now that I'm down to just Raw as an option and not fasting, because I cannot fast while doing this job where I'm just running all day, I already have the recipe for success, because I, you know, that really worked for me, doing Raw and walking 2 hours a day. So simple. So I know, like, that's the path, and it's been narrowed for me because of, you know, different things happening in my life. It's like, look, this is the path. It's the spotlight is shining on it. So that's a big goal right now, is to get back into that. And there is a fear, but that's all it is. It's just thoughts that I won't have the energy I need for my job if I walk 2 hours in the morning. The truth is probably closer to, I'll have more energy for that job. I definitely will with Raw. If I'm eating Raw and having that Raw energy, it's very different and very needed right now. And maybe I won't feel so exhausted when I get home. I kind of doubt it. I think I'll be feeling better at the end of the day as well. I'd really like to do next year's try, the super sprint. I wanted to do it this summer's with Jebby's foster mom again, but for a good part of the year, I thought that I had, you know, another illness, myasthenia gravis, and now I don't, but I didn't train for it because I didn't know if I could for a long time. And then when I did know, I put a lot of other things first. I did too much caretaking, really, of the friend that moved close, my client. That's necessary. I'm doing the amount of caretaking that I need to and more. And then also my neighbor's cat, because he was in the hospital having eye surgery. And just all these things came up, and I just gave almost all of myself. So now things have calmed down and I can choose to really support myself. And Raw energy is definitely needed for that. So, yeah, thinking about the try next summer, and it would be fun to work towards that and do that again, and have it be a fun experience it again. Each try that I did was not necessarily super fun, but I know that it can be. So when I trained a lot, it was. I want to ask you who you were at 10. Because it comes up from time to time when I'm, like, doing all these different things and thinking about all the things that I still want to do, but I have to be realistic. Like, I want to have a calmer, more peaceful life, and that means not doing 10, 20 projects at once and spreading myself too thin and taking care of too many. And when I think about who I was at 10, and I think I've talked with you guys about this before, I was an artist. Like, that's the first thing that comes to mind. And I got really in touch with that again when I created my Cantina Critters on Etsy, which is animals, if they were bounty hunters, and those images on mugs, and intergalactic bounty hunters. So it was fun to really just lose myself in that for a while, but then I just, like, I stopped it because it wasn't taking off at all, and I felt like I was losing myself in it. And maybe you're supposed to. I don't know. Maybe you're supposed to, but that's who I was at 10. And I loved, like, singing, and I loved doing plays. I do still think about going back to stand-up. With this schedule, it might be tough, but who knows? I've got a nice little set that I'm forming, just writing little bits, and that is a lot of fun, just to write little stand-up bits for open mic nights. I did print out a list of all the open mic nights in Chicago, and I do think I'd have a lot of fun doing that. And Gabe and I writing together, I think, would be a lot of fun. So I'm still a creative person when it comes down to it. And I think I'm probably my most creative when I'm raw vegan and am that consistent person eating consistently healthy and unprocessed. It feels good once you're in it. From the outside, it just looks like it's going to be so hard, but it's funny how your brain forgets. It's like, I've never had a baby, but they say, you know, that women forget the pain of childbirth and they just remember, like, the joy of the experience. And I know that can't be true for all women, but raw is like that. Going raw, you forget that once you're in it, you don't crave the junk anymore. And you have all this great energy and you're happier and more fun and, like, the best version of yourself, your greatest hits. And I just feel in my heart of hearts that that's where I belong, and that that will open up and shine a light on the things that I'm really meant to do, because I will be closer, much closer to being my true self. So think about who you were at 10 and what you loved. And just thinking about that, I think, will draw those things into your hula hoop again. And they'll just, opportunities will present themselves. And I'll let you know what happens when I do that. I wish I could think of a longer list. I should be keeping track of all the amazingly awesome things that happen to me each day. Sometimes they're little things, sometimes they're big things, but at the moment, having trouble remembering some good examples. But it's like you usually recognize it when it happens. Sometimes it's an amazing parking space when it's the least possible, or seems the least possible. Sometimes it is hearing from someone I haven't heard from in a while. Sometimes it's people letting me go ahead of them in line, like multiple people. Oh no, go ahead. Sometimes it's a little lottery win. Sometimes it's a really cool dream. I got to see my niece recently again in a dream, and that was super fun. I don't know if I told you guys about seeing my nephew. I've asked my niece and my nephew and my dad and my sister and my grandma. I've asked all of them. Well, I hadn't asked my nephew. I'd asked all of them to show yourself. Like, I'm old enough now. I'm ready for it. I can take it. I can handle it. Show yourself. All of the little signs and hellos are really super cool, but I'd love to see you again, even if it's just for a second or two. But that has not happened. However, my nephew, who I did not ask to show himself, I don't know why, he appeared a few weeks ago in my former sister-in-law's basement when I was hanging out down there with my niece. And maybe I talked to you about this in a previous episode, but I'm just going to say it again because it's still really huge. And I want you to not doubt yourself when you see something like this. It was seen in such an odd way. And I think it's like what our brain needs to process it. Because if he had just appeared before me, I just don't know. I don't know how my brain would have reacted to that. But we were in the basement. She was working on these jeans that were her senior jeans. Like, they have certain days of their senior year that they wear these jeans on that they like bedazzled and whatever, painted. She painted a lot of stuff on them. And we'd been down there for hours talking and stuff, and her watching an anime show. And then she was done. Then her mom came down the stairs and looked at them. And she called a friend. They FaceTimed and showed them the jeans. And then her mom went back upstairs, and we were like picking up our stuff to go upstairs. And I was outside the family room, and she was still inside picking up the last few things. And I just like glanced through the crack in the door. I'm sure I told you guys about this. I'm sorry, but and there was my nephew, just plain as day. My nephew that died in January 26th, 20 years old. Healthiest guy I knew. Ewing's sarcoma. And he was sitting there just like looking. He was facing forward on the love seat, and I was like looking at the end of the love seat through the crack between the door frame and the door. And he was just grinning at me. Like, he had his head turned to me, and he was just grinning at me. And I looked away, like to double take, look back, and he was still there. And then my niece came out of the room, and I looked at her, and I looked back at the crack again, and he was gone. And she knew right away, like, something weird was going on. She's like, what's happening? And I'm like, I can't say. Like, I just had to like protect her, protect everyone from my weirdness, I guess. Because I immediately felt like it's not fair that I got to see him and she didn't, and her mom didn't, and they haven't. But there he was. And I always feel like he's in the house. I still feel like he should be just walking into the kitchen, filling up his water bottle, opening the fridge. Like, I always catch with kids one at a time, you know, when I go out there to visit them. They just kind of drift in and out of the kitchen. Whoever comes home or wakes up from a nap or takes a break from studying. And it's that time of year where everybody's back at school. His older brother, he's in pre-med now. My niece is in her senior year of high school. But I would have been starting dental school. And, you know, he was a straight A student. I know he would have gotten into dental school. And he was just planning for that. And so it feels like he's going to walk into the kitchen anytime, and I'm going to ask him, how's school going? What's dental school like? Maybe play Scrabble. Like, even though he's sick, he beat me at Scrabble the last time we played together. And I love that. Very competitive and just such a cool kid, such a fun, funny kid. It's such a gift that I got to see him. Like, this is what I want from all my, you know, friends and relatives on the other side. Show me yourself. I really am ready to see you. But I hadn't said it to him, and yet he was the one that came through for me. And I feel like it's tied to the fact that I cannot seem to accept that he's not here with us in the way that he was. Like, my brain just cannot. I know it has to do with his age, that he was only 20. But there's, you know, and also that he was so healthy, and sometimes he went to the gym twice a day. He was so positive. So positive. He never let anything get to him. Whenever I would ask him about a trip or an adventure, high, low, everybody'd say their highs and their lows, and he'd say his high, and then he'd say, I didn't have a low. He always said that from when he was little to the very last trip. Like, he never had a low on an adventure or a trip. He was really unique. And I'm super grateful that I got to see him, that he showed himself. And I think he did that so that I could start to wrap my mind around him being here in spirit instead of in physical form. Because it's kind of tied to every time I think, like, that I'm going to see him, I'm going to catch up with him, I'm going to talk to him. Then I think of that. And also, I just feel him in the house. I feel him. We have a picture of his cat right after he died, laying on a picture of him on the dining room table. Crazy to think. The good dining room where I've never eaten a meal in that room. The fancy dining room. We always just eat in the kitchen. And there was a picture of him lying on the table. And his cat Milo was lying on top of the picture. And just, ugh, I need to frame that photo for them. So beautiful. I know he misses him, but he also sees him. And now I have. So if you've had an experience like this, don't doubt it. It really happened. And now for something light and fun to end this podcast with. My plants are growing like crazy. I just played some music for them again. One is like trying to escape out the window, found his way under the blinds. But I talk to them now. And sometimes I ask them questions through the dowsing rods. I play music for them. I just give them a lot more attention. Like daily, I tell them I love them and good morning, and I missed them. They get a mist every morning. And they're just, not all of them now. Peter Parker, my spider plant, is not doing so great. So I've got to look up again how I can care for him better. He doesn't seem very happy where he is. But everybody else is growing like crazy. And let's see, it's because I read part of The Secret Life of Plants, but I also read about something else. I think it was in another manifestation book. And so, yeah, let's have a manifestival here. Let's talk about things we're manifesting. Today, the experiment, these next 48 hours are another Pam Grout experiment. Today I'm going to see, I'm intending to see tons of orange cars. I love orange cars. And tomorrow I'm intending to see lots of orange butterflies, and I'll keep a count. But I've already kind of done that with orange cars for a couple years, a specific orange car, an orange Subaru Crosstrek, which they don't make in that color anymore, but I really love those. And I see them everywhere because that's kind of the idea of the experiment, because they're on your mind and you think about them and you love them. You see a lot more of them. Suddenly they're everywhere. She calls it the Volkswagen Jetta experiment. So I'm going to do that experiment. I'll report back to you. But the results of the first experiment were that light coming on by itself and greeting us when we got home, you know, with just a few hours. That happened, even though it had 48 hours to manifest. So fun stuff. Manifestable. We're going to have it. We're going to do it. Don't be surprised if I end up changing the name of the podcast, actually, because how can I call it Raw Vegan Anything? when I've spent so much time not being raw vegan and just aspiring to be, or just fighting it. Like I said, worst podcast ever. That name was already taken. I'm all over the place with the mind, but you know what? It's mine. So I have that freedom. But I think it'd be fun to have a manifestival. Thanks for being here. You could have done a lot of things with these 50 minutes. You could have spotted 50 orange cars. You could have seen a relative on the other side for a bit, for the blink of an eye. You could have read from E Squared. And I encourage you to do so. I really encourage you to read any of her books. So far, everything I've read from her is fantastic. So, happy manifesting. Thanks for being here. I love you guys.